Welcome to the Subscription League, a podcast by Purchasly. Listen to what's working in subscription apps. In each episode, we invite leaders of the app industry who are mastering the subscription model for mobile apps. To learn more about subscriptions, head to subscriptionleague.com. Let's get started. Welcome to the show, everybody. Today I have Jeff, my co-host, who will be joining me to interview Megan Cohen. She's a growth marketing manager at IFT and has been in the SaaS industry for over 5 years. Hey, Megan, how are you doing?
Hey, Oliver. I'm doing well.
Hi, Megan.
Hey, Jeff.
Awesome. So one of the things that I saw on your LinkedIn profile as I was kind of checking out your profile is that you did a ChatGPT video plugin. And that was kind of outside of your comfort zone, I think, when you did it. And I'm curious what your takeaways are now that it's been out for a little bit and hear what you shared actually on that video too.
Yeah, producing video content is pretty new to me. So it had a lot of good reception and a pretty large volume of impressions. So some takeaways that I kind of got from that were that consumers and businesses alike have a lot to gain from AI. And it's going to impact industry. And we're kind of just seeing the beginning of that now. Mm-hmm. And additionally, that IFT being in the integration space is positioned quite well to add a lot of value to OpenAI technology.
Yes. Nice. One thing you mentioned is that you started your career in the immersive art industry marketing live events. And it got you started on your growth marketing path. I'm actually curious what immersive art industry is and what you learned from those first few years.
Yeah, immersive arts industry is where you have kind of like a mixed media approach and you'll be in like a room. The whole room is an art installation versus mm-hmm. just one piece and you can like touch everything. It's very sensory heavy. But working in live events in that space, I think I really cultivated a growth marketing mindset because mm-hmm. people are really positive about trying a bunch of different things, seeing what works, mm-hmm. and just iterating really fast.
Nice.
Yes, you have also some great organizational skills to have for such events that might be interesting to leverage when you do growth marketing.
That's true.
And I'll try to do my best pirate impression, but you also mentioned that you're a big R pirate metrics for goals and KPI fan. And so R is actually acquisition, activation, retention, referral, and revenue. Can you tell us more about those and how you've used them so far?
Yeah, of course. So outside of just pretty normally and regularly using a full funnel approach to marketing, the pirate metric framework applies really well to SaaS because it's very specific to the way that like a mobile user might move through your platform as they go through the user journey. Mm-hmm. And in contrast to traditional marketing, it actually kind of refines them down into fewer steps. And it's just a way of making sure that you're paying attention to your KPIs and you don't get lost in other metrics, which may not be high signals of impact. Sometimes marketers can get really caught up in like social media likes and mm-hmm. followers, but it's important for me to keep my eyes on the pirate metrics.
And so that's really kind of the North Star metrics that you follow all the way until the end and not get stuck on those lighter metrics that you're mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're at IFT and you've been over there for about 2 years. And one of the things that I know about IFT is that it historically had a very generous free tiers, which attracted lots of users, lots of developers actually, but I'm not sure you can clarify that for us. How have you tried to monetize that big, large user base that was used to a free product?
Yeah. So IFT has over 25 million registered users mm-hmm. and also a very large surface area of what it can do, especially on the consumer side. So segmentation strategies were a major first initiative for me. Mm-hmm. We wanted to reach users that had a specific need. The first segments I tested were music, smart home, and productivity. Productivity worked quite well. And in the segmentation strategy, we created custom ad content and product pages in the app stores, segmenting into the three groups. Same thing in the Google Display Network, where we're retargeting users. We also retarget by their cohort. And getting visibility into the mobile apps was also a huge initiative mm-hmm. So that we could continue to track users in a segmented way throughout their journey.
And so you mentioned how you were experimenting with the custom landing pages in the App Store. How did that work out for you guys? And any tips for others on how to use that feature?
I think we had some good success with our custom landing pages. There were definite differences when we would single out specific niche. Productivity was one that worked really well mm-hmm. when we could reach users looking for productivity tools instead of smart home. We just saw a lot higher install rates and continued to see high engagement down the funnel.
And so Ift has a very well-known web presence. What effort are you doing to convert users to the mobile offering? Because I'm assuming that's a big push for you guys.
Yeah. One of our biggest assets, actually, is our heavy volume of daily traffic. And we see about 25,000 users daily to the site. And half of those users are on a mobile device. So sign-in and sign-ups are majority mobile devices. We know that the best experience for a mobile user is going to be in our mobile app. Mm-hmm. And we kind of see this in Google Analytics too, the way mobile device users can be a little bit less engaged on web than users on desktop. So we tested this theory of directing users to install the apps with a non-intrusive interstitial banner. And in the first week, we saw installs increase by 133%.
Nice. Big increase.
Yeah. It's definitely really encouraging and is pushing us to think of other similar initiatives. One that we have in the pipeline now is to think about deep linking and how we can really leverage these in our campaigns.
Is there any pricing that you're trying in different countries? Because you're such a global tool that we expect that you have different selling strategies and also different ways of presenting your offer in different territories. Do you have such a thing?
Yeah, I can't exactly speak to the pricing strategies. I know that it's something our product team has worked on in the past and continues to think about. Mm-hmm. It's not something I'm heavily working on the marketing side in my campaigns. I have worked on targeting different geographies and thinking about the value of an install by country. It's actually crucial, I think, in SaaS is to make sure that you're segmenting by country in any paid media you do.
Well, you've been talking about how you change your App Store page and the custom pages on the App Store and finding out better ways to present what you were doing. Did this ever had an impact in what you do within the app?
Yes, we've actually really thought about onboarding and how it should mimic the way that we are segmenting in our marketing campaigns. So we currently have kind of a self-selection process so that one of the first parts of our onboarding is you can tell us if you're there for business purposes or smart home or something else. You can always tell us what device you're on so that we can customize like your email onboarding and what kind of content and recommendations we serve in the app.
Yeah, excellent. And there's another thing that you are growing on, which is pretty new, I believe, is the B2B space. So most of our listeners might be knowing you from your B2C app and what you're doing for direct consumers. But that is something new that is maybe quite big right now. What prompted that shift towards B2B and where are you right now?
Yeah, that's very true. We are historically a B2C company. And what prompted some of the shifts toward B2B were our early audience segmentation initiatives. Productivity segments were outperforming music and smart home in ROI. So we were looking into the data to see how the users were using the product. And a lot of our productivity users were doing marketing or project management or managing clients. And the trend prompted us to focus on supporting this segment in the marketing content that we produced to kind of teach them how to leverage Ift for those purposes. The segment consists of side hustlers, freelancers, creators, one-person businesses. They're sometimes called solopreneurs. We use the term enterprise of one.
I'm actually curious because being a solopreneur myself, can you tell us more about how Ift can, you know, help that segment in their business, in their day-to-day business?
Yeah, I think one of the main ways that it can help is in your marketing. So with our AI tools, we can kind of help you generate marketing content, marketing ideas, localizing copy for different social media platforms. And of course, with the integration side, actually getting it posted or scheduling it to somewhere, distributing it, kind of same thing with like e-commerce or blog content for your website, managing your contacts and your email or your CRM.
Nice. I'm going to have to go spend a little bit of time over there and learn some more. And so that's a shift for you guys from consumer to that enterprise of one. I'm assuming that shift came with some challenges on how to market to those enterprise of one. How did that go for you guys and what are you doing differently now?
Yeah. The people that are monetizing their craft have a lot of functions to fill. Project management and sometimes accounting, content, website, social media, and our automations save them time, which frees them up to work on their bigger growth challenges or projects. One challenge for us on the marketing side is volume. there's just a smaller volume of search intent for business supporting products than there are for the more consumer heavy features. And this necessitates a need for us to optimize the user journey for organic traffic, for the organic traffic that we acquire. It just needs to be more specialized on every front.
Do you have an example of specialization that you've done?
Yeah, a lot of the specialization we've done is in our SEO strategy. So the type of content we're producing for sometimes more niche needs. It's also in the way that our content will be modified depending on the platform that a user comes to us from. So they're going to see different information presented in a different way if they come from TikTok versus if they come from YouTube. We really keep that in mind, like the user demographics per channel.
Makes sense. Can you tell us how you separate those two groups, so the enterprise of one versus the consumer, in your data analysis? And what difference did you find between those two users and how they behave in your product?
Yeah, so this has definitely been a challenge. Now that we're focusing on the enterprise of one, we need to be able to measure this segment growth against the rest of our user base. Mm-hmm. And this is particularly difficult in the mobile apps. We have utilized Google Search Console to segment keyword search data. We can segment anything business related from consumer terms. We can also look at the type of applets people are enabling or the services they're connecting to on the product side. And we also use Google Analytics to kind of create different audiences for people who are visiting our business blogs.
And so you're mentioning that it was hard on the mobile side. I'm assuming it's because of all the pushes that Apple has done in limiting tracking and that kind of stuff.
Indeed.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Any advice for other people that are in the same boat as you, and you know, anything that you found to help you guys navigate those changes?
Yeah. Getting a mobile measurement partner in place was crucial to getting any visibility inside of the app. So that's not just for paid media, though. It's for any campaign that we're linking people into the app for. We need that visibility to track events and know the efficacy of that campaign.
Yeah, definitely. Have you tried some ATT acceptance tests to try to increase that rate over time in your onboarding or anywhere else?
Well, we actually don't use the ATT prompt. So that does kind of limit some of the visibility that we have. And that's actually a play directed at the type of users that we have. Our type of user base, we estimate, won't respond very well to it.
Let's continue discussing about tests. And I'm sure you've run a lot of tests over time, especially as your service that is out there for a long time. Did you have any counterintuitive findings that you can share with us today?
Yeah, one that stands out was an Apple search campaign I was running where our install to subscription rate was the highest in Brazil, even over the US, which is pretty contrary to other all paid media campaigns. Mm-hmm. This meant that our installs were worth more in this geo, and it typically ranks about 10 on the install to subscription rate. So I scaled this campaign a bit to make sure that we had enough volume to know that this was statistically significant, and the trend did not cease. So we kind of just ran with that for the entire quarter, and it was a top performing campaign.
Whoa. And you didn't work anywhere else besides Brazil?
Yeah, did not replicate on Android, and our Google Ads did not see the same result.
Okay, so tests in Brazil on iOS.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Do you actually see a lot of variance like this across country, or that was kind of an outlier, the only one where you really saw some differences like this?
Sometimes on iOS, I do see this geographic variance, and I think it's just because the iOS versus Android users are very different. Mm-hmm. So yeah, every once in a while, you will see an inconsistency.
Yeah. And actually, you mentioned the difference between iOS and Android. Is there one platform that gets you a lot more subscribers than the other one, or is it kind of even, Steven?
It's somewhat even. iOS is a bit higher, but our engagement is pretty similar on each of them.
Nice. One of the features that Apple came out with in, I think it was back in iOS 12, was shortcuts, which allow users on their iPhone to kind of automate a few things, I guess. Is that competition for IFT? Is it a stepping stone into IFT? Does that help you? How has that played out?
I know some IFT users have switched over to shortcuts for their smart home control. It's a great tool for iOS users, and it can do a lot. I would say there's a higher technological barrier to entry with shortcuts than with IFT. Something we're really good at is simplifying automations. So we also integrate with shortcuts, and that expands what IFT can do overall. So with our current focus of like content creators and side hustlers, it's not necessarily a competition. It's really just expanding our functionality.
Interesting. Thank you for all the answers that you've given us so far, because that was a really great insight into the IFT world. But before I do that, if people want to learn more about you and IFT, where can they go?
You can find me on LinkedIn, and you can find out about IFT on IFT.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much, Megan. It was a pleasure to have you on the show, and good luck with all your growth endeavors that are coming in front of you.
Thanks, Megan.
Yes, thank you for having me.
On behalf of the Purchasely team, thank you for listening to the Subscription League podcast. If you've enjoyed what you heard, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or other audio platform. To find out more about Purchasely and how we can improve your subscription business, visit purchasely.com. Please hit subscribe in your podcast player and don't miss any future episodes. You can also listen to previous episodes at subscriptionleague.com. See you soon.